Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Gabrielle Union strived for the perfection her father always demanded, but as a dark-skinned Black girl, she never felt like she was enough. In our new series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she learned to embrace the things that scared her and let go of her need to be perfect.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch Our Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and hilarious Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi, Ben.
Great, Hi. Great. Everything's great over here. Having a great time, enjoying my life, enjoying Bravo, enjoying a new show to talk about, that's for sure. Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
Yes, the season premiere of Summer House Martha's Vineyard, which caught me by surprise. I had no idea this show was even in the works until the trailer dropped like a month ago. So we're about to get into that. Just a not so subtle reminder that this Thursday we are doing a show in New York City at the Town Hall. Big show, big audience, talking Real Housewives of New Jersey. It's going to be hilarious. We're going to have a great time. We want all the people there. And, you know, we're very honored to be talking about New Jersey when there's going to be plenty of New Jersey representation in the audience, right? We're in the tri-state area. And then on Saturday, we go down to Washington, D.C., where we'll be talking Vanderpump Rules. Two huge shows. Go to watchyourcrappens.com to get your tickets. You don't want to miss it. It's a special time. And then in June, we have the sprint to the finish of our Cheetah Brand Tour. We start in San Diego. We go to St. Paul, Minnesota, then Chicago, Columbus, Boston, and we finish everything up at the Foxwoods Casino in Connecticut, our very first casino show. It's a grand finale. It's going to be wild. It'll be crazy. We're going to party. So go to watchyourcrappens.com to get those tickets. Please join us. If you miss it, you'll have to wait till next year. And, of course, go to patreon.com/watchyourcrappens to get access to our bonus episode and Crappens on Demand, where you can watch us, not just listen to us. And there's Discord. So that's all the fun stuff. Get the full Crappens experience. And with that being said, let's dive into...
Hello, hello, hello. Breaking news from the Alexia News Network.
Oh, no. What happened? What happened? I'm so excited. I don't know what the news is. What is it?
Breaking news, and we just finished recording our Real Housewives of Atlanta recap, is coming a little bit late, but Kim Zolciak has officially squeezed all of the money she can possibly squeeze out of Croy and is now filing for divorce. According to TMZ, Kim Zolciak is pulling the plug on her marriage, filing for divorce from Croy Bierman on the heels of the couple's financial struggles.
Get out. I get... Wow. Wait, hold on. I have to go look at this. I am looking
11 years together, 4 kids together. Kim says she's filing because the marriage is irretrievably broken with no hope of reconciliation.
Oh.
She also wants spousal support and to legally support her maiden name. Wow. They owe... $1.1 million in unpaid taxes, interest, and penalties from 23, 2017, and 2018. They also owe the state of Georgia $15,000 for unpaid taxes from 2018.
Wow.
Their big house was auctioned off or heading to the auction block. This is not good, but man, I didn't see her leaving him over that.
Let me tell you something. There could never be more of a truer phrase than Kim Zolciak owes interest. She does owe interest because we've been way too interested in Kim Zolciak, and she owes it back to us, okay? But wow, you know, I guess when your football career dries up, you're not famous, you don't have the money anymore, it's time for Kim Zolciak to move on. Wow.
Yeah, Kim's going to move on. I guess her religion didn't work out.
Guess her.
Remember when she was like, oh, we're going to have like a Bible. What was her?
Guess her stupidity.
She was trying to be all religious, like some membership for religious shit. I was like, yes, Kim, we're all coming to you for your Jesus advice, you fucking tool.
Well, she's going to be on Atlanta this season, right? I think she pops up in the trailer. So this is what's going to happen. Croy's going to be gone. Old name back. Redemption tour. I'm not racist. It was Croy's influence. She reunited with her mom. Storyline. Next season on Atlanta. Cast member. She returns. That's the trajectory for me that I see.
Do you hear that noise?
No, what is it?
Oh, vacuuming. So sorry. Someone's here cleaning.
Vacuuming? Are you sure that's just not the inner workings of Kim Zolciak's mind?
It's just the rest of that Wells Fargo account being sucked out by the Zolciaks. The Zolciak girls.
Wow. Okay. Hot news right out the gates.
Big, it was. Hot news. Is it weird that I feel bad for Croy? I feel bad for him.
I don't feel bad for Croy.
You don't? I do. I feel like he's probably like, but I thought this was real love. Stupid. Okay, so let's move on. We have been given a gift by the Bravo gods, and that is Summer House Martha's Vineyard.
This is great. I really enjoyed this premiere. To me, this had the energy of the original Summer House premiere, which had just like a lot of people in a house. I didn't know any of them, but they all seemed to like bounce off each other in interesting ways. So I was like very into it.
I really liked it too. It's interesting. You know, you just naturally draw parallels to the other Summer House because it's a spinoff. It's its own Summer House. And they have the lead lady in this one is Jasmine. And she's kind of got that Monica from Friends energy, I think, that Lindsay has, where she's just real anal and like trying to be in charge of everything and trying to kind of, even though Lindsay didn't have that energy necessarily her first season, I think it took her a season to get more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But there are things like that I don't trust Jasmine's relationship. I mean, it doesn't seem like the strongest relationship, but also I'm like, this is Summer House and this is going to go down in flames. The Lindsay couple that starts like this. Mm-hmm. Not good.
Literally, there's another Everett type in there. And, you know, you do have all the archetypes. You have the controlling type, like the one that's sort of the more uptight one, which is Jasmine. You have the controlling man, which is Silas, her husband.
Also military, like Everett.
Yeah, you've got the hot girl, which is Jasmine. You've got the bippy bop, which is Bria. You've got the fuckboy, which is Amir. You have like the fuckboy who pretends to be actually really earthy and like soulful, which is Alex.
Hilariously.
You have the cool girl, which is Mariah. And you've got like sort of the dork, which is Nick.
And then you've got the token gay, who is Preston.
And the token gay.
Yeah.
So it's like literally like perfect casting.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right, so let's jump into it.
Well, I have a question. Did we meet Jordan? Did Jordan come to the Crappies last year?
I don't know.
I feel like she did. I feel like we met Jordan.
I feel like I would remember. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
She's a stunner.
She was gorgeous. And I seem to remember meeting someone named Jordan who was in Playboy at the Crappies.
With Luke?
I think that Luke brought her. But I could be wrong. God, I don't want to start gossip. And I couldn't find any photos. But I thought, I mentioned this only to play the name game and nothing more than that.
Well, you can't do that with me because, you know, I don't remember shit. I don't know what I had for dinner last night. My brain is like a DVR that's constantly rewriting itself. So I don't remember anything ever. So good to meet you.
There's nothing more to that story than that. I was just curious if that was the same person.
So we're seeing everybody getting to the vineyard, okay? So we see a girl rushing to a plane. We see a guy taking a selfie. And he's like, Martha, I know you've been waiting for me on the way to the vineyard. And then we see who we find out later is Nick with the glasses. And he's like, I'm on the way to the vineyard. I'm on a plane. Cheers. Doing his Insta posts. Mm-hmm. And then the gay, who you know immediately is the gay, even though he's very masculine. He's not like... I don't know why we know he's the gay. I think because he's in a Kyle Richards felt hat. So I was like, there's the gay.
Yeah, I could sense like a certain quality of his judginess that felt distinctly of our community. So I was like, he's one of us.
Yeah, he's like, you're about to see the smallest plane in life, so pray for all of us. It's like, yes, that is very gay to say.
And then, yeah, because in this first part, I was just doing like, I was like, cute guy, gay, glasses. So cute guy, who I think is probably Amir, is like, Martha's Vineyard, I'm landed, I'm here. And we see it's day 1 of 15. So it looks like it's going to be kind of like the winter house template of shooting a show, you know, cram them all in for 15 days and see what happens.
Well, you can't just get on and off this island. This isn't a, like, get off work, take the Long Island Railroad,
right,
you
know, it's not like
jump in an Uber. Right. You have to work. It's explained to us that you have to take a plane or a helicopter or a boat.
A ferry. Yeah.
Yeah, a ferry to get here. So it's day 1 of 15. Also, it's like a trial, probably. And Jasmine, it says, Jasmine, screenwriter. And I was like,
yeah.
Uh-oh. Aspiring, like I don't know you. So opening a bottle of wine dramatically, and she tells us, I'm Mrs. Cooper, newly, recently, I literally just got married 3 months ago. It is definitely something we're adjusting to. It's our first time coming back as a married couple, and already, Jasmine, nobody cares. No, literally cares. Everybody is married. Shut it's the fuck up. Yes. We've never seen you on this show before, and we don't care that you're coming back in another season. Married. Nobody cares. You already got your gifts, so be happy with your goddamn gifts and your week of parties that you forced all of your gays to go to and contribute to, even though you're never going to pay most of us back for that, okay?
Please stop acting like there was a season of Summer House Martha's Vineyard before this that you have to catch us up on. There was no season. You're married.
I know.
It's not a novelty.
Jasmine's like had the run of Cheers in her own mind, you know?
I think we're, yes, we're actually in the Frasier section of her Cheers timeline, but like, Jasmine, we're actually very fortunate because, God, if this were the season where she was getting married, oh, it would be intolerable. The wedding showers, the bachelorette parties. Although I would not be surprised if she pulls some bullshit like, well, since we got married during COVID, we didn't get to have like the wedding we wanted, so we're going to have a do-over kind of wedding. I would not be surprised if she milks her marriage for do-over events all season long.
I wouldn't be surprised either. She's going to get some free shit out of this.
Yeah.
So her husband is Silas, and he's like, this is the place where she became my girl, so it's great to be back here. She's like, oh my God, I'm blushing. And then they kiss because they're doing the confessional together.
I wonder if she married him for his sparkling personality.
My God. She goes, he goes, did I mess up your lips? Did you mess up my lips? And I was like, oh no, this is doomed. This relationship is doomed.
Yeah, so they're like now walking around this enormous house, by the way, enormous. But it's enormous because they probably have to put all the production in there too. And they go to the backyard, and she's like, this is what the ancestors wanted. And they're checking out the pool house. And Silas is like, when I visited Martha's Vineyard for the first time, I was a college student and probably $50 in my pocket. And I rented a hotel room with 3 or 4 guys, and it was the struggle bus. But we made it work. What I'm trying to say is, We did a lot of porn, a lot of webcam stuff. We made it work.
A lot of jerk off vids. So there's a caterer coming, which is very exciting. And Preston comes in, the gay attorney, and he's yelling and hugging. And we find out that Silas and Preston are line brothers, which means they're frat brothers. And I was like, oh God, here we go. And then of course, sorry, Ben. And of course they run right up into each other and they do a secret fraternity handshake. And it's so secret that they do it into each other's stomachs. So like the cameras can't see it.
Yeah.
It's like, are you guys kidding me with that? Like, what is this handshake open? Like a vault to your jack off videos? What is this open?
It might. I had a secret handshake in my frat.
Did you hide it from other people so they couldn't see your secret handshake?
I don't know, but I know that like, yeah, my SIGEP experience is definitely not the same as the Alpha Phi Alpha experience. That's for sure. So
I feel like you shouldn't have any kind of secret handshake in fraternities because like fraternities, according to the internet, that's like where everybody jerks off all the time. So I don't know, fist bump, hugs.
Well, I was not part of any mass fraternity jerking off sessions. I didn't get to see or hear or witness any of those. I have heard that that has happened in other fraternities. But that being said, I do want to go back to something that happened right before Preston came in, which is that Jasmine finds two glasses like that have beverages in them, and she holds them up and she's like, "Babe, why do you always do this? I never know which drink is mine." And he's like, "Does it matter, babe?" And she goes, "Huh, I guess it doesn't. I literally have your last name now." I'm like, "Ooh, this is gonna be hard. She's gonna be a tough one all season long with this.
This is gonna be rough." And my first thought was like, why is she so shocked that she's married? You know? she seems like she's at the end of her own Pretty Woman. And then we find out that she's not a hooker at all. She's a Playboy model, which is not, you know, I don't know what I'm saying about it. Well, we find out everybody on this show is a Playboy model, actually. Like, four of the ladies who are going to be on this show are Playboy models. And I was like, oh, so I guess once you find a decent man, listen, when you're working at the Playboy Mansion, you're not really meeting the most decent men. So I think once you do find one that you're like, oh my God, look, he's in the reserves. And he's actually nice to me. And he didn't throw a 20 at my head. And, you know, like, try and make me do something degrade, degrade me in some way, I'm marrying that man. And then you get excited. And then I got excited for her.
And then she advertises in any possible way that she's married, even if it includes the fact that they can drink from the same cup, which, by the way, they could have also done even if she didn't share his last name. I just want to point that out. That is the way that drinking from cups works. It does not care about your last name. So yeah. Then Preston is saying that, yeah, he thinks like Silas is a great friend, and
but they had a rocky relationship at the beginning, which tells us what we need to know,
which is that Silas saw the jerk off video and was like, "Hey, I know you. Oh wait, no, I only saw your content," and then it was awkward.
This is what we find out. Silas is an asshole, and Preston was like, "No." At first, he was like, "Hell no, I'm not going to put up with this guy's bullshit." But because Preston like has some sensitivity, he ended up getting close to Silas. Now that was my theory, but then throughout the episode, I was like, "Well, Silas isn't an asshole, so where does that come from?" Okay, so then Silas is like, "Wow, you know, since the wedding, it's just been coming and going. You know how it is." I'm like, "Oh God, him too.
Yeah,
these two are never going to shut the fuck up about this wedding."
And then Jasmine walks through and says, "Oh, are you guys talking about me?" "Yes, his life has changed forever now because we're married. Ha, continue." So then another car pulls up, but it's not a cast member. It's the caterer. So I'm glad we took some time to observe that. And then Preston felt like he was in World War. He was talking about how he was on his like tiny plane. He's like, "I felt like I was in World War One. I thought I was going to be shot down over Germany." So now Bria arrives, and Bria has brought an unexpected dog. She has a dog named Milo, and she has arrived with it.
She is a fashion entrepreneur with this tiny dog, and Jasmine's like, "Oh, whoa, 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 is that a dog, and is it married?" Because no one told me about a married dog, so. And Bria's like, this is Milo, and you can see Jasmine is pissed.
Yes.
And she's like, "So what's going on?" She goes, "This is baby Milo." So Jasmine's like, "Well, all of us walked in here with two legs, and Milo walked in with four legs, so I don't think that was going to go past us without addressing the paws in the room." What's up? And so then Bria does...
Oh, Bria.
Probably, listen, I'm a person with a dog, so okay. I am not above doing this, okay, to get on a plane. Because how the hell else are you going to get your dog across the country, okay? You can't put him on a bus. Like, how else are you going to do it? In the summer, in Texas heat, okay? So I'm not above saying this is my ESA animal. I got the letter from the doctor and everything. To my friends, I'm not going to pull that shit. Who shows up with a dog on vacation and says, "This is my ESA and, like, animal"?
A hairy, ratty dog. By the way, I just want to point out, Milo is a stupid dog. Milo is one of those dogs you see and you say, "That's a stupid dog." I'm sorry. Milo is like a wiener dog, and I love a wiener dog. I think they're cute, but he's like a long-haired wiener dog. So he's like kind of ratty looking. He literally looks like you should attach a pole to him and just sweep things up.
A horrible human being. No, that dog does not look ratty. It's a beautiful, it's very a fancy dog. That is a fancy, long-haired...
It's a fancy, ratty, long-haired dog.
Something kind of a dog.
You know what? I'm not going to be bullied by by like dog people. I've decided. You know what? Like I like bullied. Dogs.
You're the bully. You are Bob Barker is rolling over in his grave.
This is a preemptive. Not going to be bullied. Statement.
Because Betty White is in heaven flipping you off right now. Is what's happening?
Because all the dog people just automatically. It's like God forbid you say that a dog is stupid looking. We're ratty. Like, God forbid, like, all the dogs have to be beautiful at all times. God forbid you say anything negative about a dog. Let me tell you something. This is a stupid dog.
It is not a stupid dog. It's a stupid dog.
Listen, I reserve the right to change my mind, but I'm just, right now, initial impressions, flash judgment, stupid dog.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hey, I'm Brooke.
And I'm Arisha.
And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Rich, where we bring you absolutely true and absolutely shocking stories about the most famous families and the biggest celebrities the world has ever seen.
Our newest series is all about the teen movie icon, Gabrielle Union. After spending her childhood trying to assimilate and breaking into a racist industry, Gabrielle thought her success meant someone else had to fail. But when she's faced with hard choices beyond her control, she realizes that the only way to find real success is to come together and build community.
In our series, Gabrielle Union, Bigger, Badder, Better, we'll tell you how she shook off her need for perfection, found her true self, and created the life she always wanted.
Follow Even the Rich wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on Amazon Music or the Wondery app.
I will say this. Emotional support animals should not look terrified. I feel like this dog needs emotional support dog. I feel like it maybe is a little bit scattered emotionally. So that's what I'll say about it. It's like going to a shrink that's always crying. Like, why are you going to that shrink?
This dog is also like hiding under the bed. And I feel like this dog needs the emotional support. I think that actually, like, when she says this is an emotional support animal, she means like, this is an animal I have to emotionally support right now because it is terrified of me.
Yes. And she's like, they help with anxiety and depression. I'm like, well, what helps them with anxiety and depression? Because that dog has to be your dog. And that can't be easy because Bria already seems like the biggest pain in the ass, you know? Bringing a dog unannounced, I mean, hell no. I think what does the dog have to live with?
That's so uncool to bring a dog unannounced. I actually really think it's not cool at all. Any pet unannounced is not appropriate. But also, if you have anxiety to the point that you need an emotional support animal just to
I don't want to be on vacation with you.
Why are you on a reality TV show?
I'm not going and drinking margaritas for 2 weeks straight with somebody with their ESA animal, okay? Because then you're going to get drunk or I'm going to give you like a microdose. And then before you know it, everything's going to turn to shit, okay? Don't come on my vacation.
Yeah, and don't bring a stupid dog. So Preston is like...
Oh, by the way, she goes, they help with anxiety and depression. And then it just cuts to the dog looking terrified, staring straight into the camera. Like, you fucking kidding me with this?
Dog's like, I was told I was going to a lovely little park in the neighborhood. Now I'm here. So
Jasmine's like, okay, we can do that. Okay, because you can't argue with emotional support animal, which is why Bria is saying it. You can't, like, people are going to get mad at me for saying, if you have anxiety, if you have an emotional support animal, I'm not going to go on vacation with you. It doesn't mean I can't deal with depression. It means... You stop that dog. Oh, look. Speaking of, listen, let's see, it just went off. Bueller's not liking this conversation. It doesn't mean I don't want to go on vacation with people with anxiety and depression. It means I don't want to go on vacation with people who have to have their dog with them during margarita. Like, I can't enjoy myself with you. So the dog looks terrified, and Jasmine cannot argue with this because that's like a guard. Like, you can't say no to someone's emotional support animal, okay?
Yeah. So Preston tells us, he's like, Bria reminds me of someone who literally spent 2 hours preparing for Miss USA and just didn't quite make it, which seems like a pretty apt description of her. So,
Jasmine's so rude, like, but he's like, she's a lot. He goes, it was a lot to just see. I mean, it was a lot.
Just to see her. So, So Jasmine is so furious. She's like, okay, well, Milo, you and mommy come with me to find a room. Okay. I'm totally not raging on the inside. This was supposed to be my vacation of being a married woman and no other competition for affection. Okay.
So then she tells us that Bria used to work with her, and they were proud Playboy bunnies, and we see pictures, and of course they're stunning. I don't think you can be a Playboy bunny and not be stunning. And she tells us that she not only met Bria, but she also met Shanice and Jordan, who are also coming this summer. So it's going to be four Playboy bunnies. And she's like, you know, I hit it off with Jordan and Shanice, but not really Bria. I mean, we weren't really as close, but when Shanice said to invite her, I was like, okay, I'll invite her. I was like, so Bria and Shanice hate you. But you don't know that Shanice hates you, because Shanice right. only told you the stuff that Bria told you. Told her about you. That's what I'm predicting.
Right. So Jasmine also is very eager to set everyone up, because she wants to be like, I'm married, and now you guys have to be married too, so that way you guys don't all go out and have fun while I stay at home with Silas. He doesn't want me to leave the room after 8 p.m. So she's like, she's already talking about like guys for Bria, and Bria's like, oh yeah, I'm probably gonna be the next one to get married. And Jasmine's like, oh, what are you talking about? Like, I'm trying to give you the scoop on all the guys. Like, clearly there's like hot guys that you're going to get married to in here. And then we'll be all married and totally happy together in a married state. Right. She's like,
and she's also one of those people who, this is how she puts value on people. She goes, there's a guy named Alex. He's tall and handsome. And then there's a guy named Amir, and he's tall. I was like, oh God, she's one of those. We're all that matters is a guy's fucking height. Can short guys catch a fucking break on these shows? My God.
Short kings. So then Bria's like, well, I actually met a guy at the Cannes Film Festival. It's been 5 months, and it's just been like wonderful. Funny story. So I went out there because I thought it was a festival all about recycling. Turns out it's about film. And I met this guy, and it's just been
great. Really wanted to talk about all the different kinds of beans that you can keep fresh if they're just sealed properly in aluminum.
So she's like, my new boyfriend now, Simon, is German, and he lives like in Munich. And like, you know, he's like, I want you to celebrate your birthday here. And like, I'm going to like, I guess I'm like going to Germany. And like, are there any black people there? Like, what's going on? I guess I'll go. Okay, cool. Like, sounds great.
And Bria pretends to be supportive. She goes, oh, you're with him 5 months? Well, I mean, I got engaged to my husband, who I'm married to now. Married life, right? And we only knew each other for 6 months, so I totally get it.
Are you guys mixing up your cocktails yet, but then not caring because you're, like, in a committed relationship? No, not yet. Oh, that's something to look forward to.
So she pretends she's supportive, but she tells us that she knows Bria, and it's always a different guy with Bria. And to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if, in like 6 months, she's going to be like, Simon who? So then we go to the kitchen, and Preston is like, Nick is coming too. I hear he's a Kappa. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun.
Big rivalry between the Kappas and the Alphas. So, and then Jasmine's best friend Mariah's coming, and then Jordan's coming, and Shanice is coming. We keep on hearing that Jordan and Shanice are coming. This is really amped up. And now Jordan's en route, and she's calling Shanice, and she's like, Jordan's really dreading seeing being around a lot of people in one space, and she thinks the guys are all going to be like wild cards. And then I think Shanice says she might sleep with somebody, but she doesn't know. She's due for some penis, but maybe Jordan said that. I don't know.
No, Shanice said that.
Out names. Oh, Shanice said that.
And okay. Yeah, Shanice also, Jordan, it says model and DJ. It's like, okay. So then she's like, well, when we did Martha's Vineyard last summer, Silas and Jasmine were engaged, and now they're married. And so our entire dynamic is going to be different, because I'm trying to have a good time. My good cousin sister Jasmine can be a little Betty Crockerish sometimes. And so she's like, I know what she's doing right now. She's making bouquets of roses and putting little gifts on everybody's bed. Which is basically true.
Jasmine's literally doing that.
Jasmine's like, if you sprinkle when you tinkle, please be a sweetie and wipe the seedy. Okay? Don't forget to pray.
Love lives here. So now everyone's toasting in the kitchen. They're doing shots and mugs, which I really like. I felt like that was a very real moment. And so now here come Nick and Alex. Nick is a sports brand manager / stylist. Interesting duo. And then we have Alex.
That's an interesting crossover, for sure.
That's a crossover. That's we on Atlanta, we talked about multi-hyphenates that we don't trust. And that one, it's not that I don't trust that one. I just don't understand that one. And then Alex is an advertising creative director, so he has no hyphenates. He's just an advertising creative director.
Yeah. Both handsome, of course, because they're on TV. So
yeah. It's a good looking cast in general, by the way.
Or Nick is like, well, I first met Jasmine, you know, as a black creative in Brooklyn. And Nick is my fraternity brother. I love that. I'm going to start saying that. You know, I met my friend Christine as a creative in Brooklyn. You know,
I know.
Just us creatives in Brooklyn. That's how we met. I used to live in Brooklyn. I can pull that off. I usually just say we met in a pasta factory because that's where we lived.
You know what? I was in Brooklyn. And I was in a WeWork, and I met her, and I was like, we do work. We work. We work. So, yeah, just two creatives in Brooklyn just becoming friends, sharing a house in Martha's Vineyard.
And Preston's like, Nick and Alex look like kappas because they're kappas. Oh. I was like, oh, my God, a frat boy in a Kyle Richards hat. Preston, I'm trying to like you, but you're pushing my buttons. You're pushing every button I have right now.
And Alex is like, I respect all frats. I respect them all. But Kappas, I mean, we're the Pentas. No debate, no discussion. And then, of course, Silas is like, Alphas, we're the first black fraternity. So on Father's Day, Preston and I expect cards from Nick and Alex. We expect that. It's like, okay. So then,
I expect all four of you to shut up about your fraternity because no one else cares except the four of you. Okay, keep that shit in private like most fraternity boys too on the internet. Thank you.
So Alex is saying he's not a drinker, but because he tries to be intentional about what he consumes. I know Ronnie just said something about it. The word intentional.
And I how hate when people say that. You know what? I'm doing things to be intentional. Like, I'm trying to be intentional about what I consume. I eat vegan. Ain't no pork on my fork. A glass of wine every blue moon. We can do that, but I just feel better when I'm not drinking.
I just love...
Okay.
Listen, if someone doesn't want to drink, that's not what they want in their body, that's fine. But I just love someone being like, I'm just trying to be intentional about what goes in my body, and then does, like, thirst trap videos later. Like, I love the idea of, like, presenting yourself as this, like, someone who cares about something deeper and more meaningful and cares about a holistic experience, but then doing, like, thirst trap videos on the lawn the next day, you know?
Right, because it's, like, not being intentional because it's really helping you. It's doing it for your brand on Instagram. Like, look, it's me. It's intentional Alex. you don't need to make a monologue about not drinking. You know what I mean? But let me say, hate aside, let me push the hate aside. That is what not drinking has done to his skin, because that skin, that man glows like a nightlight. I mean, he is.
It's gorgeous.
I saw that skin and I was like, how, when, and where? Tell me everything about what you do. I want every single detail, sir.
So meanwhile, Nick, he chooses a room that has a big closet because his wardrobe is the most, he's like, my wardrobe is the most extensive. So Jasmine hears it and she's like, oh my God, how do you know for a fact that your wardrobe is the most expensive? So she's winds up being angry for several hours because she hears expensive instead of extensive, which is hilarious.
And then it shows a video of 12 hours ago when Nick is packing to come here and he's got all these clothes laid out on his bed. And he's like, I've got trousers in every colors, suits, tuxedos. I was raised by a single mother, so when she went shopping, we went shopping. And I got my love for fashion at a very young age. I have enough clothes that will last me the duration of this trip, and I will never wear the same thing again. Nick.
Sounds pretty intentional.
Now that's intentional. Now that is intentional. Nick, I will tell you, I'm going to wear the same thing probably in every video that we do this week. And we're doing six of them. So I don't get you and I don't support you. But hugs. Long distance hugs.
Hugs.
Congrats on your multicolored pants.
So now an SUV shows up. And now this is Amir who's arriving. Amir's... we've already had several, like, cute guys. And now we have Amir, who's super cute. And he's like, I'm from the great state of Austin. I mean, wait. Austin isn't a state. I'm from the great state of Texas in Austin. And then he does, like, his smile. Like, he's got this adorable smile. And I was like,
this guy...
This is how he does it.
Is fuck so boy. Hot. He's I so cannot hot. Take but, like, how hot this fuck fucking boy. Guy is.
Blatant fuckboy, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah. But, you know, I like when people are hot Well, of course they know they're hot because, like, literally everybody's nice to hot people in stores and stuff. I mean, I think they know they're hot.
Yeah.
But I like when they pretend that they don't know they're hot. Like, it's surprising. Yeah. Like, if someone says, oh, you're handsome, they're like, what? Come on. That's what I
was
like.
Ugly in middle school. I had a bad hair day once.
I love a good pretend bullied story. You know, like, I was bullied once, and now look at me. It's like, you can do it too, ugly person. And it turns out he's not that person. But for right now, he could be that person. So I'm like, oh my God, he's so cute. And then I hear he's half Lebanese, which, of course, I'm Lebanese. Like, you know, I'm half Lebanese. And I was like, oh my God.
And he lives in your neighborhood, sort of. He's in
Austin. Yeah, he's in Austin. So, of course.
Honey, make your move.
I'm sure I totally have a chance.
You never know.
I think when he's like, oh my God, chubby Bravo podcaster who's gay. It's totally what I've waited for. I get 100 DMs a day, but this is the one. This is the one.
Well, and that it's not only that he's half Lebanese, but he was raised by his Lebanese side. So he's really in the Lebanese part of it.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
So, I mean, we'll see when he cooks. That's the kind of leaven, because, you know, it can go a lot of ways. I want to see what you can cook. So then Milo is a dog with some taste, because it immediately runs up to this guy and just starts licking his whole face, just like I'm sure all of us wanted to.
Yeah. And so then now another car arrives and it's Jordan.
Like, we're friends. Oh my God, you're a model DJ. I can tell because you're wearing kind of like baggy pants. Like, this is so exciting. I'm so glad you're here. Oh my God, I hope we get to hook you up with somebody. There's so many single people and they're so tall.
Yeah. So then they hug, and then Silas is like, Jordan is a really great friend to Jasmine, and she's really smart and she's really witty. She just so happens to also be the party friend, and Jasmine is a married woman now. She drinks out of glasses she's not sure are hers, but it doesn't matter because we have the same last name. So it's gonna be an issue.
Yeah, you're kind of dead to me when you say things like that. This is when I was already like, okay, Silas, I hope she leaves you. I hope she cheats on you and then leaves you. Okay? Yeah. Publicly. On television.
I hope you're the party friend. The party of one friend.
Yeah. Oh. So then there's
Sorry, was that a little too harsh? I can go back to talking to about Milo.
I just said I hope he gets like publicly humiliated and dumped on national TV. So I think you're good. So there's a gym and a room with two tiny beds behind curtains and a queen bed in it. I guess that's like the overflow room. Like, whoever gets there last is fucked, as usual.
Yep. And then the guys, they're looking at that. And then there's also like a gym. So the guys are excited about that. And Jordan's walking around and she's like, oh, cool. Well, the gym is gymming. The rooms are nice. And then she meets Amir and it like slows down and the music's all like, beautiful woman meets beautiful man.
Isn't this a beautiful moment for all of America? They look at each other and just start laughing, because that's what happens when people that beautiful see each other. It's like, ha, 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 oh my God, somebody as beautiful as me. Thank God. Someone who gets it. What's your bullying story? No, you. You first. What's yours?
Amir says that it's talking about how Jordan's just like so stunning, and he was introduced to her in a group chat. So he's like, obviously, I did my research. And she talks about how after college, she posed for Playboy and she was the fourth black playmate of the year. And Amir's just like giggling because he's like, the moment I saw her smile, I knew this was going to be bad.
Yeah. And then the next arrival is Mariah, who is a nurse / screenwriter. Now, this is the first hyphenate that I buy.
Yes.
This is not an asshole of a person. Yes, this is not an asshole of a person. This is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm doing for my other hustle. You know, this is my hustle for my real hustle.
Mariah, I love. Like, Mariah is going to be my hero on this show. Like, she's going to be the one. Like, I think they're all going to be assholes, and Mariah is going to be the one that I just like latch onto, and she will guide us through.
So she tells us that she met Jasmine her first year in college, and she was in an arm cast, and Jasmine just ran up and was like, hey, and smacked her hand cast as a high five. And she's like, and I wanted to beat that bitch immediately. But then we became friends. So I know her, Silas, Preston, and Jordan. So my strategy for dealing with everybody else, don't start nothing, won't be nothing. Yep. So then she gets a little tour. And then we go to the pool room, not swimming pool, but playing pool with Nick, Alex, and Amir. And Nick is trying really hard to look good at pool, and he can't hit it properly with the pool cue.
He's in sports management, not sports playing.
You guys, he's in sports management, and he has a lot of different colored trousers, so cut him a break.
Okay. Yeah. So Amir's basically asking everyone, like, hey, so anyone who's interested in what, whatever, and Nick's like, I don't know, I'm going to sort of, like, hold off before I say anything. And Amir's kind of like, well, if we're going to do the whole, bros call dibs first thing, which I guess we're doing because I just said we're going to do it, I'm going to put dibs on Jordan. Okay, great, guys. Great talk.
You don't get to put dibs on people. What the fuck? Okay, I'm starting to get mad. This is the summer house, but I hate when they do this. But we'll get to it. I have to, like, pace myself out. So the producer is asking Alex if Amir even has a chance with Jordan. And he just laughs and then sips his green tea because that's what intentional people do.
Yeah, like, I've met
I'm not going to say anything negative because I'm not drinking right now. And I'm going to intentionally drink this green tea.
Yeah. So then then Jasmine goes up to Nick and she's like mad at him still that he said that he had the most expensive wardrobe. And he's like, no, I said extensive wardrobe. He goes, oh, I apologize. You know, marriage brain. It's a real thing. What can I say?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So then Preston is noticing this energy between Jordan and Amir because that's what we do. We're gays. And yeah. He's like, you know, it's cute, I guess, you know? He's like, well, I'm not going to stir any drama, but if I need to, I have a big old spoon in my hand. And by the way, he's doing this confessional from what's called the truth booth.
Yeah, the truth booth. After 30 years, trying to put a new spin on the confessional. So then Nick, meanwhile, Nick has eyes for Jordan too. And he's saying that, like, you know, like, if I pursue a woman, she will know it. She will feel the energy that I'm reverberating to her. She's going to feel it. And then Jordan's like, ugh, Nick, like, he slid into my DMs. I had to put him on restrict. I was tired of, like, the heart eyes and I was tired of the fire signs responding to my stories. And, I just think he's whack.
Yeah, this the way he said it, like, you'll notice if I like you. You're going to feel that energy reverberating right into you. It's like, that's called harassment, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we see her stories that she's referring to. And this is the kind of person that makes me crazy. Because she's posting, like, all these gorgeous, like, her whole timeline is, like, model poses where she's, like, in a bikini crop top and, like, short shorts, like, squatting and, like, giving sexy poses. And then guys, like, sending her hearts. And she's like, oh, my God, I get it. I'm hot. Why aren't you asking me what kind of books I'm reading? I'm like, then do a fucking story from a library. Like, my God, that's, like, Amir. Because you know Amir is the same way. He's posting, like, shirtless, exactly. All this shit. Like, you know what you're doing. Stop acting like everybody's supposed to treat you like something else. That's literally, like, what you're putting out there for us.
Yeah, it's like classic thirst trap thing. When a thirst trap doesn't really want to admit to being a thirst trap, it's like, I'm just being me. I'm just doing this because I'm expressing my body. I'm expressing myself.
It's like
myself.
A club sandwich getting annoyed that I ordered it off the menu.
Yeah, Jordan is very much all about, like, she's like, I mean, I know I'm, like, hot. I know I'm, like, devastatingly beautiful. But, like, ask me a question about me, which, by the way, is a fair request. But it's just, it's funny when hot people do that. It's just always very, very funny when people, it's just like Alex talking about being intentional and then posting thirst traps, you know?
Well, it's also really annoying because she's someone who's like, I'm hot. I get it. What else do you want to talk about? I'm like, okay, you are hot. I'm not going to take that away from you or say something like, well, you're not that hot because you are that hot. Gross that you say shit like that. You know, pretend that you're not that hot, because when you say things like, I know I'm hot, like, I get it. All I can wish for you is age. I just want to, every time someone acts like this, I want to follow them on Instagram and just get pleasure out of every day watching you age slightly more, because I know how much it's hurting your brand. Okay.
Yeah. That being said, Nick, like if you've sent a heart and a fire emoji and like what, like eggplants or whatever, like 45 times in a row,
yes,
or 10 times in a row or 7 times in a row without even a response,
gross,
it's time to like move on to a new thirst trap.
It's time to stop harassing people online. Also, all this Jordan stuff sounds like it's totally out of place, which, because we're talking about something kind of from the future now, right? So we're kind of mixing up parts of the thing, but yeah, Nick, gross. So Silas is wooing about something. Oh, because Preston walks through the kitchen and goes, hey, y'all, just wanted everyone to know Jordan and Amir are about to fuck. Okay, bye.
So now it's time to eat. It's time for the group dinner. And this is Amir's first time at the Vineyard, and he's excited to be in a house full of people who look like him. And he's talked about how his mom was born in Saudi Arabia, and then she was raised in Lebanon. And then he speaks some Arabic, you know, which was really cool. And so
he fuck, like, bro. But when I just have to say, I know what Alex means, obviously, like not growing up in a black community to like be actually in a house full of black people surrounding you has got to be something. I just, when he said that, I was like, I've literally never said that in my life. Like, wow. I'm so glad to be in a house of people that look like me. Like, what is it? Auditions for like Uncle Fester, like in Wednesday. Like, who is that going to be exactly? I was just thinking, God, thank God I've never walked into a room of people that look like me. You know, I was like, what are you robbing a bank? Are we all trying to be like Vin Diesel's current stand-in, not his original stand-in, his current.
Vin Diesel and Fast X coming to a theater near you. So, but either way, he's saying, obviously, in this situation that he's been, you know, raised in a predominantly white community. So he's very excited to be in a space of, like, black people. Or there is a chance he was saying, I've been raised around a lot of really ugly people, and thank God I'm finally around some super hot people. I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. So then Amir, he talks about how he doesn't know his dad and like how he didn't have, like, he basically, like, he didn't have someone in his life who could teach him black things, like how to take care of his hair or his skin. And like, he didn't have like a fade until he was 24. And so he looked crazy in high school, but now he's hot. So he just gets DMs all the time.
Yeah.
So,
I thought this was cute because this is so my grandma too. He's like, my mom would just put me in the shower, cut my hair all the way around with a one on the clipper, you know? I was like all the cousins when we were kids lining up to get our hair cut by our grandma in the shower with different clippers. I had a mushroom. Yeah. I was clippered around the side, and then I had like a big mushroom on top. But yeah, we all had some kind of bowl and clipper haircut. Oh, but yeah, so, he's like, but then when I realized what fades were, then I became hot. And now I get 50 to 100 DMs a day from girls. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I was like, oh, fuck off. Okay, you and Jordan deserve each other. You're hot braggarts, and I can't wait for you both to get fat and old.
So then Jasmine is now saying, she's like, here's what I'm looking forward to this summer. I'm looking forward to expanding community, because every year we do this, it's for purpose, and it's not just to do it. And so I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, that's good. And then Mariah's like we come to the Vineyard every year. She goes, girl, bye, you've only been to the Vineyard once.
So yeah, Jasmine's, she said,
like,
twice
we do twice, yeah, sorry. She's like, yeah, every time we do this, it's really for something bigger than we. you've only been here twice.
You're also making it sound very, like, I get the black excellence thing that she's saying, like, you know, make a community and this and that, but you're also, like, just going to party in the Hamptons for 2 weeks. Like, let's stop making it sound like you're building homes for poor people. You know what I mean? She's like, so, this is more than just a vacation. I was like, this is a vacation. Okay, this is a vacation. This is still, at the end of the day, a very hoity-toity vacation, you know? But so congrats on taking it.
But she's like, no, I'm still going to have my moment. She goes, like, whatever black excellence means to each and every one of us, that's the expansion, being rooted in something. So they all cheer. And then Preston's like, he goes, I actually really hate the expression black excellence. Like, I despise it. And they start playing church music behind him.
Yeah, the music, like, the music goes, start playing organ gospel music.
He's like, for me, black excellence is like my mom, who barely graduated high school and had three kids by 23 and who never went to college and was just able to survive. That's black excellence. And he's like, I think that the expression black excellence is rooted in what white people consider successful. And they're all just like looking at him like, and you know, Jasmine was like, this was supposed to be my moment. And
because he does it in the full preacher way too. And I am the preachy gay, okay? I'm the judgy gay of my friends, and I loved this segment where he gets his own organ. I want it. I want my own organ music. Because he's like, for me, black excellence is my mom who barely graduated high school. Like, he does the full-on sermon voice and everything. I was like, I'm so jealous of this queen right now. I'm getting an organist. I'm getting a fucking organist. That's
it'll be at the New York show. And so Preston's like, I am a black queer activist, so I have a lot of different opinions about a lot of different things. And people say to me, like, no, you don't have to say everything that's on your mind. And I'm like, ah, you're lucky that I don't. So, yeah. So they're basically just like staring at him like, mm-hmm.
They're like, okay. Fun. Thanks for killing that fun. Okay. Great. It was just literally to do a shot. Okay. It was a cheers.
Just trying to say something nice. So,
then they break up after food, and everyone starts kind of getting ready to go outside and hang out in the hot tub. And Jasmine's talking to Brianna, and she's like, so just to be clear, you're not going to give any of these men a chance? I mean, there's so many tall people here. Are you sure? And Brianna's like, no, would you do that? And she's like, I'm married. Have you not heard? I'm married. And she's like, I'm in a serious relationship. I told this girl I'm in a serious relationship, right?
Yeah, Jasmine's like, to go across the pond to live with someone seems aggressive. I mean, we're missing some steps. We're like leaping like frog. I mean, I think the first thing you have to do is put both of your drinks next to each other and try to guess which one's which, and then realize it doesn't even matter because you're in a committed relationship. I mean, you got to get to that point before you move to Munich.
And Jasmine's got this weird obsession with making everybody fuck, which I really don't like. Like, this isn't The Bachelor. This is Summer House. You just have to go have fun. People are eventually going to fuck. It's nature. We don't need you to do it. You know? It's creepy.
Yeah.
So then Nick makes drinks for people and everyone's in the hot tub. And Nick starts this one. He's like, okay, guys. Of course, it's always the nerdy guy with 18 pairs of different colored pants who's like, okay, let's do a drink. Dare or truth. Okay, so Amir, I dare you to kiss a woman you find attractive.
Right.
So no, he kisses. That's fucking assault. How about that? How about let's stop like having the guys fucking assault people to start as a fun game? What the fuck is that? If someone was like, I dare you to just pick one and make out with them. Gross. Get your fucking hands off of me. Because I'm sure I would be the one that they all chose, you know?
I will be layering in an organ in post-production just to, as per your wishes. So, Amir kisses Jordan on the hand. He's very subtle. Because
she pushes him away. She's not going to let him kiss. He tries. He tries to go in for the kiss. And she's like,
So then they make the same dare for Alex. And so he then goes and kisses Jordan on the cheek. And Jordan's like, of course, you guys all want to kiss me, but, like, no one in the house is blind, so, like, obviously, yeah, I'm, like, super hot. But, like, dare them to ask the question that they want to know, or, like, dare them to want to, like, know me in some way. Like, we get it. I'm cute. Like, but, like, what else? And it's weird, because I'm, like, I totally agree. But it's, like, also, she's, I just love, she's, like, I'm just, like, so hot, guys. Like, this is a given, okay? Like, let's move on from that I'm just, like, deeply, wonderfully hot and gorgeous, okay?
What else would you like to talk about? Literally, the only thing you've talked about this entire time is about how hot you are since you've come on the show.
But why don't you talk about something?
Yeah. So then, but also, like, I get it. It's like you come into this new situation and everyone's just like, okay, who wants to fuck Jordan? Who's going to get Jordan? You know, it's
Grody. That's why I say I agree with her. But I think it's also funny that she does talk about how hot she is also a lot.
Yeah. So Preston's like, well, Mariah, I dare you to give Nick a lap dance. How about we stop daring? What the fuck?
Just everyone's trying to
these men. It's gross.
they're just all trying to have like a real world moment. Like, God, we're on a reality TV and we're like reality TV show. We're in the hot tub. It's like the real world. Like, let's get crazy.
Yeah, but it's all guys doing the dares. It's all guys doing the dares, and they're all daring each other to do sexual shit to the girls or the girls to do sexual shit to them. It's creepy.
It's very Love Island. I think I'm desensitized because I watch Love Island UK. So, so then Mariah like does like a little booty shake for Nick, so he basically doesn't get a lap dance. And then Alex, well, hear your wish. Alex gets dared to sing a song, and so he's like, "All right, I can be intentional about singing because I have a lot of different singers and musicians in my family, and I have a cousin who's a really popular singer." And Jasmine's like, "It's John Legend. His cousin's John Legend." He's just trying to be so modest about it. So he sings a song. It's
like, and I'll just say that is definitely not John Legend. So then Jasmine starts screaming and jumping out of the hot tub. It's like, oh my God. It was a frog, you guys. It was a frog. A frog that touched a married person.
Hello, I already met my prince. We don't need you, frog. So now everyone goes to bed, and Silas is like to Jasmine in bed. He's like, "Can I get a quickie tonight?" She's like, "Ew, stop it." So it's the next day. Yes.
Day two out of 15. So we get some sunshine. That's the song. We got the sunshine of a pool time. The sunshine living a hot life. I like Trixie Monocle. It's like, okay, the show is called Summer House. All right, one song. What's coming in the summer? Sunshine, hot, hot. Summer, hot, hot. The next one should be about a house. I'm going to say doorknob, door. Knob, open door, window.
Oh, got it.
Print.
Perfect. Paul, get that one on the books. So everyone's waking up and Nick's cleaning the kitchen. I mean, one thing that is like really helpful about having someone who brings like 27 polo shirts is that they're usually pretty anal, so they're going to do a lot of cleaning for you. And then Silas is like, "I have work to do. I'm still working. So let me set up two laptops in the middle of the kitchen to do my work." I'm like, you got this whole house? You can't set up two laptops in your bedroom, for crying out loud? You got
to
do
that's exactly right. You have to sit in the center of the entire house where everybody comes through with not one, but two fucking laptops.
Like, I'm Come working, on. Everyone. It's like a very, it's a very presentational view of him working. He's very much
it's Kyle.
It's like, I'm doing work right now. So, So Bria's like kissing her dog and everything, and there's like Silas and Jasmine are kissing in the kitchen, and Nick goes out for a run. He's doing the Carl thing where he runs in the morning, and Silas is like, "When I have my time off, I'm usually fulfilling my military duties in the Army Reserves, and I work hard because my family emigrated from Liberia, and I want to make sure that my story is a successful one." And then meanwhile, they cut to like Amir. He's got like at the Mr. Coffee being like, "Oh my God. Why is this the most intricate coffee pot in the world?" He can't figure out the coffee pot.
While, he's like, "Does anybody else see this? Does anybody else see this? The coffee pot literally won't work because I'm so hot. It's like, cannot even get to work. You can do it, buddy, okay? Just relax. I can't be the first hot person you've seen."
Yeah, Silas is like, financial analysis. Got to go to work at the Army. Financial analysis. And Amir's like, "How do you work a coffee pot?"
So then Alex is on the lawn shirtless taking selfie videos at chest level. You know, it's like only really hot people do that too, by the way. Hold a selfie at chest level. Like, who else does that? The rest of us are like holding the fucking camera up to the ceiling, you know?
Yeah. You know what I hate when hot people do when they do their thirst trap videos? I hate when they end with like a little... Like they do like the peace sign with their hand. It's like, and you always think like you'll watch it and be like, oh, maybe this time they won't do like the, yeah, like the little peace, like smile and a peace sign. And I'm like, this time maybe they won't do it. Oh, they snuck it in at the end. For some reason, it really bothers me. It's like, we don't need the peace sign.
I kind of peace sign sometimes. I don't do thirst trap selfies, but I do kind of peace in pictures just because I don't know what to do. But this is the one that really kills me. When people stick, it's the Kim Zolciak, speaking of. The sticking your tongue out between your teeth, your open teeth, and then like touching the tip of your tongue to your top lip like this. I hate that.
I don't get that one. I don't know why that's just a thing that people
Everyone was doing that. Everybody's been doing that. I mean, maybe they just stopped, but it was going on for a very long time, and it bothered me. It hurt my feelings. I don't know why.
Well, yeah. And of course, the one I hate the most are the photos of people, like, smiling with their mouth open, like, you know, like, they're, you know, that thing, because it's, the idea of it is, like, oh, you took a picture of me when I was having such a good time that I was laughing really loudly, and you captured that moment.
But excuse me, that's called the Julia Roberts, and that's what I do. Are you coming for me right now? Because first, it was the peace sign and pictures, and now you're coming for the Julia Roberts
No,
moves?
No, no.
So if you have something to say.
You don't do it. There's a thing. There's a difference between having an open mouth smile and there's the one where it's like, oh, I'm acting like you just caught me in the middle of a hilarious moment that I was having, and this is
like
such
in
a spontaneous
an 80s
moment.
80s like, sitcom moment where you're like, I'm just like stirring the cookie mix, and then the camera catches and you turn a smile real big, like, yeah. Different strokes it takes.
Mrs. Garrett, if she were here. Well, not Mrs. Garrett. Well, Mrs. Garrett actually was a
Natalie Tilly Blair.
The original thirst trap, Mrs. Garrett.
Taking
like,
selfies.
Why don't people
taking,
ask me about me?
Taking selfie Polaroids at chest level.
Of her cookies.
I get it. I'm hot. What else do you want to talk about?
Ask me a question about me. So anyway, Mariah's like, hey, Jasmine, let's go write for a little bit. So they go out, and Mariah tells a story that in 2017, Jasmine was like, hey, bestie, why don't you come up to New York? You know, let's like have some fun in New York. But then what Jasmine didn't tell her was that she was being evicted. So Mariah moved up to New York to no place to live, and they wound up living out of Mariah's car and eating ramen noodles for 5 months.
Yes, and they were taking showers at Planet Fitness, the homeless life. That's like me when I moved to New York. I didn't know anybody, and I was on the street for a couple of weeks, and I was a member of the city gym that was like $25, and I used to have to roll my fucking suitcase around and take showers in that damn gym. I will never forget. I wish we had Planet Fitness back then. I mean, God, those sound like nice showers. These city gyms were like prison showers. Not that that was always a terrible thing. Why am I talking about this? That's back when I was like, guys, I get it. Why don't you ask me something else in the shower?
Guys, come on. Like, truth. Guys, next time you drop the soap, like, how about you ask a question when you pick it up?
So, let's see. So basically,
they thought it was like a crazy experience. They wrote a pilot. It looks like the pilot was shot. They made a show. I don't think the pilot was picked up. Doesn't sound like the pilot was picked up, but super cool that they turned it into something, and now they clearly have, they've got something brewing, so now they're writing. So they go to sit down to write in this room, and they sit on this white couch, and then Jasmine freaks out. She's like, oh my God, the dog's been here. So immediately I'm thinking, oh my God, there's a puddle of pee, or there's poop. But it's just hair.
Rock bottom, I'm looking it up. There was a documentary following seven gay men as they struggle with methamphetamine addiction.
Rock bottom, that's very literal.
And then there's one stuck in the middle between two rival gangs. Two friends stumble onto the wrong turf.
If it never made it to... Well, let's see. There's a show called Rock Bottom in 2019...
There's one called Rock Bottom between 2015 and 2020. Austerity hits Leeds, England. Okay, that's England. Okay, so I think it was just a pilot, I think. But God, there's a lot of things called Rock Bottom. I mean, Jesus.
And if it didn't get... Well, Rock Bottom, 2019, chronicles the cosmic comic misadventures of a girl undergoing a life crisis after she locks herself out of her apartment with no pants on and is thereby forced to confront her emotional, philosophical, and logistical problems. Okay, so for a moment I thought that's what this was because the picture showed a woman dumpster diving, but no.
That sounds like it. Could be it.
But you know what, though? It's funny. The person who's in this movie, I know this person. That's wild.
In real life?
Yeah.
Or from things.
I know him through our friend Sita. That's so bizarre.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, what a world.
Okay, so this is, we're at an hour, and I think we're at 5 minutes into this show, so.
Okay, so the point is there's dog hair on this sofa, and Jasmine is losing her mind, you know? So
now listen, I have a dog who leaves so much hair it's horrible. Like, I literally have hair removers all over my house for people. I feel so guilty. And that's in my own home. I feel so guilty. I cannot imagine bringing my sheddy ass dog without telling people. That is so rude. And then letting your dog all over the furniture to get hair everywhere. Mm-hmm. Bree is fucking rude. That's it.
Because the also, end. You know, these people are like, we're on TV right now. We're trying to look good, and we're gonna have hair all over ourselves. So then we cut to Milo in the pool, and he's just swimming around, and Bria's like, go Milo, go, hey Milo, I taught him how to swim in the ocean. I was like, in the ocean? That just feels very aggressive for a small dog. I'm surprised that dog's alive, just not only from the waves but from the predators, for crying out loud. Would you ever let a small dog learn to swim in the ocean?
She's irresponsible. No. Yeah, she's not a good mom. So then Jasmine's like, we can't even have a writer's meeting without dog hair being everywhere. And Mariah's like, well, did she tell you about the dog? She goes, no, she just showed up with the dog. And Mariah's like, fine, I've heard enough. Let's go get her. We're going to do that. Bria, could you come here a sec? Jasmine needs to yell at you in the sunroom. So,
by the way, Nick and Jordan. I love the irony that, like, that Jasmine's like, yeah, my claim to fame is that I wrote a pilot about, like, living out of my car, and it was, like, really tough. You know, just take showers at the gym, and yeah, it was a rough and tumble. Like,
dog hair? Do I see dog hair?
It's like how things have changed.
So then we get a little clip of Jordan's love journey on the show. We go to the kitchen where she puts something in the dishwasher. And she goes, the dishwasher won't close. And Nick goes, that's giving dish inexperience to me. I was like, ooh, there we go. It's the beginning of a love story. Finally, someone is talking to her about something that's not about how hot she is, and it's how bad she is about placing dishes in the dishwasher. Ring them bells.
Listen.
You're gonna ring.
You gotta ring them bells. Listen, Ronnie, you know what? Like, yeah. It's a dishwasher. It cleans dishes. We all know that. How about asking the dishwasher a question for once, okay? How about getting to know the dishwasher?
So back to the girls. Jasmine's like, my dog seriously is building a fort, and he's making me creep. Just lay down, babe. Just lay on it. Why do you
Bueller is like, I don't
pillow.
Like this discussion of Milo. He's uneasy with another dog being discussed on the podcast.
Yeah. So... okay, so Jasmine's like, okay, well, to me, the considerate thing would be to let all of us know that you're bringing your dog. And that's kind of important. Like, Alex can't even properly do yoga without Milo's shit being around. And she goes, oh, really? Where's the shit? Show me the shit, then. Where's the shit? And she goes, oh, did you pick up the shit this morning? And she goes, yes, I did pick up the shit. So then they show the shit cam, I guess, of her picking up poop in the backyard, which I have to say... I was impressed because I didn't see that. I didn't see that coming from Bria. I would have guessed that she would have left it there, but she did. Now, that still leaves grass covered in the poop on the grass, but there's plenty of grass. So I don't know. I don't know where I'd like. Whose side I'm on.
Listen,
right now.
I'm not going to put Bria on a pedestal for doing one of the basic things you have to do for a dog, which is clean up its poop. So, like, she does
people
not win any
don't
medals
do
for
it.
I know
no,
people
don't
do it.
And let me tell you, one of the reasons that Lala Kent has always made me crazy. Well, actually, I liked her in her first couple seasons.
Yeah.
But I met somebody who used to live in the same building as Lala in that Beverly Grove. You know those Beverly Grove apartments?
Yeah, where the hills. Yeah. Lauren Conrad's place.
And
yeah.
She said that, yes. And Blossom, she said that Lala whatever. Was always walking. Yes. And she said that Lala was always walking around there talking on the phone to her mom and walking her dog, and she would just let her dog poop everywhere, and she would never pick up the poop. Wow. And one time someone said, oh, you should pick up your poop, and Lala just gave them a dirty look and kept walking. I can't Whoa. Stand people who don't pick up their dog poop. Truth You're monsters. You're monstrous wow. people, okay? And that's why I'll never trust anything Lala says, because no matter how nice she pretends she's being or what a good person she's acting like that season, she's a person who doesn't pick up her dog shit, okay? And she's probably going to raise terrorists. There,
wow.
I said it.
Give them Lala. More like give them pooper scoopers. So Jasmine is like... Yeah. So Jasmine, here's the thing. I think Jasmine is right with this argument. Like, I think ultimately what Jasmine is really upset about was that Bria just did not give her the consideration of a heads up. So she's mad and she goes, but her arguing, I think she needs to work on her tactics, because her response is, I mean, how would you feel if I showed up with, like, a tiger? Like, I feel like that's not, like, couldn't you just start with basic house cat? Like, I think house cat's like a really strong one to go with. People have allergies.
Tiger's strong. Also, you can't come at someone like that with somebody else by your side. You know, she shouldn't have had Mariah be like, okay, come in here, we need to have a talk with you, because that's automatically two against wanting it. You shouldn't do that.
Right.
But, you know.
But of course, Bria is totally unapologetic. She's like, you're being insensitive about the dog, and that's not my problem. You're being very insensitive. Oh, God, I cannot stand people who are like this. Like, sorry. Like, I know the sign says no dogs, but that's going to be your problem, because I'm bringing my dog in.
Well, you know why, though, right? Because it's my emotional support dog. No.
You could be emotionally supportive with your dog not on the sofa. So then Jasmine is like, well, I feel disrespected. And Mariah's like, listen, okay, like, here's what I have to say. I hate, and then Milo just starts shaking the water off of himself. Mariah's like, wet dogs.
And Jasmine's like, listen, I just want to set some boundaries. And so Bria's like, I don't even know this person. Like, we're close enough for her to be like, yo, your dog's hair is bothering me. And I'd be like, okay, cool. But you wouldn't. You'd be like, okay, cool, my dog's hair is bothering you. So what else do you have to say about it? You know?
Bria would be the type to say, okay, well, you know what? You should sit on that sofa instead. Like, I'm not going to change anything with my dog, but you should change your pattern instead.
Right. So Jasmine's like, I mean, you never came up to me about the dog. And she goes, I told you I had brought a service animal.
So then Preston is now arrived, and he's like, well, what I'm hearing from Jasmine is that she just wanted a heads up. And Bria's like, this is my business, and this is my dog, and this is my emotional support dog, okay? So...
Listen, I'm not talking to you. I respect what you're saying, but when you can take it down a notch, Jasmine, I will talk to you. And Jasmine's like, what? I'm not raising my voice. And she goes, this is just too much. And so she like storms out and closes the door behind her.
So ridiculous. So then Bria goes to the kitchen. Now she's like going to start a public campaign, or she's gonna start campaigning for her side, so she's going to get some votes. So she goes to see, she sees Jordan and Nick, and she's like, are you guys fine with the dog being here? Because apparently Jasmine's saying people have a problem with the dog. You don't have a problem with the dog. And they're like, and you can see they're kind of like, we don't love the dog, but we don't want to get in the middle of this. So they're like,
fine. We're not fucking with Jasmine. Like, hell no, you know? And so then Jordan's like, yeah, there's something weird with them anyway beyond this dog stuff. They've got weird energy. So then Bria's like, okay, thanks. I'm finding Amir now. Amir! So, of course, guess where Amir is? He's working out. Where else would he be? The library. So he's there, and she scares him by coming in. And so she's like, so apparently she said that everyone has a problem with my dog in the house. So like, I'm literally coming to everybody to ask him, do you have a problem? And he's like, no. I mean, look, I would appreciate it if the dog would send me less DMs, like fewer DMs, but I love him.
He's great. So then Jasmine's telling us, like, do I have an issue with Bria? No, I mean, Bria and I work together, and that's about it. And, like, Shanice is the one that recommended inviting Bria. And, like, Bria was, like, not even my top priority of friends. Like, sorry to that woman. So basically she's saying, I wanted a different friend to come on. And the producers, like, Shanice put this person in front of the producers. And the producers chose Bria instead. And I'm pissed.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So then Mariah calls her mom, and we find a little bit about her. She's a single mom, and she's got a little 7-year-old named Miliano, and he's staying with us. I mean, it's just one eye away from a delicious cookie. You know what I mean? Would it have killed you to name him after that cookie?
Come on. You know, it's like naming a child, like a Genevieve. Do a Geneva. Delicious cookie. Delicious Pepperidge Farm
cookie.
Yeah,
come on, man. It's like naming your child Chocolate Sip. Could you just put an H in there?
It's like,
give me a chocolate
it's
chip.
It's like Chips Hoy. Come on. Get the A in there.
So then Bria is calling her boyfriend, and she's like, there was drama because Jasmine got into it over Milo. And, like, not only that, she keeps saying, like, don't you find any of these guys cute? And I'm like, excuse me, she's disrespecting my relationship with you. And he's like, there's always people who want to bring you down. So this is how life is, and I've got your back. Don't worry, no one will put you down. I'm coming over there.
Yeah. No, I shall put you down as long as you move to Munich and be with me the rest of your life. So so now Alex and Amir are tossing a football around because they're bros. And Amir like played rugby, so he throws the ball like rugby style, but like Alex throws it like football style. And so then Jordan like joins in, and Amir starts asking Jordan about her dating life. And she's like, you know, I'm so picky because of, like, the whole Playboy thing. Because I was in Playboy. I was, like, a Playboy. You know, like, Playboy. Because, you know, I'm hot. And, like, it's just, like, so hard. Because I'm always, like, with guys. Like, are you a fan? Is this, like, cool to you? Or do you, like, actually want to get to know me for me? And that's part of the reason why I've just been celibate for the past year.
Just give me a fucking break. Who recognizes somebody from a Playboy centerfold, like, a long time ago? Like, I'm sorry, you know, but maybe you shouldn't have it at the top of your Instagram profile, because you know it is. I'm going to look her up right now.
So Amir's like, really? Wow, celibate. And he just starts looking at his nails like, okay, you're going to have to find someone else. This is not worth it. And of course, because she says that she's questioning people's intentions, and by eliminating sex, it allows her to find out if someone's just like really interested in to get to know her for her. So, of course,
no, it
Alex,
doesn't. First of all, that's a flawed philosophy, because it means that they're waiting to have sex with you. I mean, look, if you're that gorgeous and a guy's not, you're not having sex with the guy, he is going to be as nice as possible until you have sex with him. Then you find out who the guy really is. That's what I say.
Unfortunately, I think that might, you know, just that's guys are terrible, you know, and they are con artists, and they will do that to you. So, and here's a con artist right here, Alex. He's like, I think that's beautiful. You know, there's something really magical and special about deciding to focus on yourself. And I've taken that path myself. I was like, famous cousin John Legend, stop trying to push that booze on me, okay? I'm being intentional with how I live my life, okay?
I'm sorry, but I have to go to Jordan's Instagram. Okay, let me see here. Jordan Instagram. Load it
up. Listen, Ronnie, don't make her mad. Don't make her mad. You don't want to be crossing Jordan.
Okay, it does not say Playboy whatever on her Instagram. So I was wrong. It says NYC DJ, model, potato enthusiast. So okay, she's winning my heart over.
Potato enthusiast.
That's good. She's co-founder of Women with Voices. I think I like that. I like the name of it. She's creator of At 844 Swim. And she's the director of Vibes with a bunch of emojis after it. And she has a SoundCloud. Okay, so I can see. These are not all, by the way, these are also not all thirsty pictures.
Like, literally, everything she said is totally respectable and, like, totally realistic to ask. She just wants people to find out about her instead of just, like, you know, ogling over her. And, you know, it's just that I think that the way it was presented on this show is just like, I'm a Playboy bunny. I'm hot in my DMs or whatever. But like, the truth is that, like, you can see the way that Amir, like, as soon as she said that she's celibate, and the way that Amir just like looks down at his fingernails, like, ugh, boring, stupid. I don't like her anymore. It's like,
yeah,
that is what she has to deal with.
You have to kind of have that attitude with guys because they never stop. You know, let's see. Jordan is okay. So they have that discussion, and Bria is on the couch. Okay, so she's like lying on the couch, and Nick has some device that he's like wrapping her legs in, and it's some kind of thing that sends an electric pulse through your legs or something.
It's like a thing that athletes use. It looks like she has like giant, like, moon boots on that go all the way up to like her waist, because it's like, they're doing something to her legs. And so I don't know why he brought those to the house, but he did.
He's a sports something.
He's in sports management, stylist. But I guess dabbles in sports physical therapy. I don't know. So she's sitting on the sofa doing that. And then Jasmine and Nick, they like sit down at the table nearby. And Jasmine is like, or is it Jasmine and Mariah? I don't remember. But Jasmine sits down and she's like, ugh, I am mentally spent by what we talked about earlier. I mean, Bria this morning was so difficult. And it's like, what is happening here? We're going to have to like figure this out. We're going to have to talk and figure it out. And Bria's like, hello, I'm right here. It's
like a foot away from you. And so Jasmine's like, oh my God, when did you even get there? She's like, I'm doing leg therapy. She goes, okay. So Bria's like, oh, so now she's being fake. So what the hell? So then Bria's like, okay, let's just talk then. I can't run away from you. I'm literally stuck in a device. So let's talk. So Jasmine goes, well, if I offended you, I apologize. You know, I'm married. And she's like, okay. And she goes, but, you know, it's a very vulnerable position to curate a trip like this. I was like, you curated a trip? Are you fucking kidding me?
Right now. She's so vulnerable.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, curating a trip. No, it's such a vulnerable position to be a married person curating a trip for single people who haven't, you know, fulfilled their life yet. And like, you know, because if everything goes right and everyone gets married, everyone's like, yay. But then if anything goes wrong, it's like, look at the Coopers. And by the way, just so you know, I am one of the Coopers. Okay, you can hang with me. Okay, because I'm married.
So Bria's like, okay, I'm sorry I was rude. I should have let you guys know we're going to have a dog in the house and moved ahead accordingly. No, you should have asked.
Yeah.
Bria, you should not have just said, I'm bringing a dog. You should have said, hey, can I bring a dog? Mm-hmm. A stupid long-haired hairy dog.
On top of it. So then Jasmine's like,
who swims in the ocean like a fucking weirdo.
This dog learned how to swim in the ocean. Okay, this dog's been doing documentaries called like 100-foot wave, but it's really just like a regular wave. It just feels like it's 100 feet to it. So Jasmine is like, I'm triggered, okay? I'm a wife now. There's a sense of stability, and I still have some habits I picked up from living out of a car, and I still feel like I have to be in fight mode and defend myself, and I don't have to be because I'm married. I'm married. I'm a Cooper.
Yeah, and Bria's like, also respect my relationship too, because I have a relationship, and you don't value it. And she's like, okay, clean slate time. Normally, I'd leave the slate dirty, but I'm married now. It's gotta keep it clean. So now everybody's getting ready to go to dinner, and Milo is crying on the bed while Bria gets ready. And again, I say that is not an emotional support dog.
Who's getting the emotional support?
That is a terrified purse dog.
That is an emotional distress dog.
Yes.
So So then there's like doing photos, and they're going out to dinner. There's like. Talk about there's no street lights, and they're actually talking about the history of Martha's Vineyard and its history with the black population, and how Mariah says how slaves came up to Martha's Vineyard to be free, and that Oak Bluffs, Preston says Oak Bluffs opened up the first inn for black vacationers, and there's even a black beach, and that it's also is a place where people who were mixed race would come to for, you know, to get away from everything. And they talk about famous black celebrities who have homes up there, like Spike Lee and Obama and Kamala Harris, etc. So we hear about that a little bit. And then they get to dinner where they can, you know, get back to doing petty reality star things.
So they do. So Amir's like, so Jordan, what are you going to get? Are you cold, Jordan? You're not wearing a jacket? Here, take my jacket, Jordan. He's like, oh my God. Do ugly girls just freeze to death?
I think so. I think, yes. Yeah, if you're hot, you get the jacket. So then Jordan's like, they're ordering food, but Jordan doesn't order much because she's going to make a potato at home. She's like, potatoes are my favorite. And
this is when I warmed up. I was like, okay, I like her now.
Should have led with potatoes.
You shouldn't have led with how hot you are. You should have led with how hot you like potatoes. Then I would have been with you.
On her Instagram... like her number one story highlight thing is potatoes. Like before all else, before her branding, before anything, it's like potato.
So Jasmine's like, okay, so let me say this. Is anyone interested in anyone here? Because people are single. Are there some prospects? God, so I wrote, shut up. You're so annoying. But then I was really glad that the entire cast gave her that look. Like, God, shut up. You're so annoying.
I know. She's so annoying, but I really enjoy her. Because I think I see a lot of like my worst aspects in her. So I like enjoy it. So not the single. Oh, I know. I don't do any of that stuff. But then, so Jasmine's like, we're all attractive people. We're intelligent people. So everyone should be getting married. So who's going to start first? And Jordan's like, God, stop it. So then the food arrives and Jasmine's like, okay, so I do want to circle back to the struggles of singlehood that no one was talking about except for me. So like, I want to know a little bit more about everyone. Like, everyone tell where they're from and what they're working on, okay? Who's working on a screenplay? Who's still single? Who still feels like they have a void in their life because they're not married to someone?
Yeah, she's like, we can start with Jordan. And Jordan's like, well, I would love to have an authentic conversation, one without a prompt. Oh my God. And now I officially love Jordan. She loves potatoes, and she's putting an end to this bullshit game they do on every single Bravo show where they're trying to force everything out of everybody. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Yeah, no, Jordan's great. Jordan's great. So then Bria's like, I feel the same way too. So Jasmine's like, great, okay, fair. I'm totally at ease with this decision that you guys have made on my television show that I've arranged. I'm totally chill right now.
So then Mariah asks if Bria and Jasmine talked it out. And Jasmine's like, yes, we were able to have a conversation. And I don't know if you all know, but me, Bria, Jordan, and Shanice all worked at the club together in New York City. So, and there weren't a lot of black girls who worked there, so we stuck together. I mean, I know me and Jordan hit it off immediately, and I do consider Jordan a sister cousin. And Bria, well, brings dogs. Nobody really knows about it, who get hair everywhere and doesn't really seem to care. So that happened. That was fun.
That was my totally non-prompting participation in an organic conversation. I'm not holding back a prompt. So then Silas is like, yeah, I love the dynamic that Jordan and Jasmine have. But you know what? In training, I would call her and Jordan would be out and about. And I'm just like, I'd call her and Jordan and they'd be like out and about. And I'm just like, huh. I'm like, okay, so what's wrong with that?
Also, what were you doing at 2 a.m. at training? Wouldn't that mean that you were at a bar after training or something?
Or were you
running laps every night at training? Because it sounds to me like you guys were out drinking. And I'm from an army town, and I know what happens after training at 2 a.m. Okay?
That is correct.
I've had a lot of it. Ding, so ding, ding.
Mike, he's the very the intentional guy. Oh, no, not Mike, Alex. I kept on calling him Mike. Alex is like, yeah, I can see Jordan being the toxic friend. I was like, whoa.
Jeez. Like,
everyone's like, what? What was that about? He just laughs.
Well, he's trying to neg her because she and Amir are getting close, and he feels like he's the intentional one, and he's got a famous cousin. So why is nobody picking him?
Which is so funny, then, because if you're intentional, you shouldn't have to neg someone, but just goes to show, the fuckboy's coming out.
Yep. So then Jordan's like, why am I toxic? And he's like, oh, I'm totally kidding. So Jordan goes, what do you mean? What was I taking her away from Silas? And he goes, it's 2 or 3 a.m., ma'am. And she's like, but that's New York. And Bria's like, yeah, people don't even go out till 1:30 in New York. And Silas goes, well, it just seems whenever you are out late, it's always with Jordan. Dun, dun, dun.
And in the middle of this, Nick tells us, Jasmine knew Jordan before she knew you, Silas, and she made it this far in life without you. So, like, basically, like, stay off, like, go away.
And he's like, he does not want smoke from Jordan. Trust me. And Jordan's like, so does she have a curfew? And he goes, just during the pandemic at 21 years old, I enlisted with the Army Reserve, and we were away from each other for over 6 months. So it's still new to see her in this environment with her girls, and I'm still adjusting to that. Well, you better fucking get used to it. I mean, I don't know who the fuck you think you're married to, but that shit's not going to last. Also, these two are clearly not ready to be married.
Right.
Anybody? Yeah. Would you get married after 5 minutes of knowing each other? No.
Yeah, no. I'm intrigued by this. But I think it was in 2021. I don't think he was 21 when they got married.
Thank you. Because I was like, how does that?
No.
Yeah. How does that work? Okay.
No, it was in 2021. So, and then he goes, yeah, there was one night I called you and you were like, oh, babe, we just got some free drinks. And I'm like, you got what? Who's buying the drinks? And I think that's a fair question. And Jordan's like, if we are at like the daily front row party, it's an open bar. It's like, that's called free drinks. Like nobody's buying us free drinks. And by the way, it's also possible that if there was someone buying free drinks, maybe someone bought free drinks for Jordan and like was like, oh, I'll get them for your friend too. Like it's
or maybe they brought drinks for your girlfriend. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
You're not the there. World. Okay. Yeah. And she can drink. So Jordan's like, this is exhausting that men think they need to be our knight in shining armor and that we cannot go out with being prey for the predator, which is true. But men think this because men are predators.
Yeah. That's the thing. They pretend to be the knight in shining armor because they know they want their predators. So yeah. Then Jordan's like, we go out. We're adults. She makes decisions. I don't have to shackle her and say stay out till 3 a.m. And then Nick is like, yeah, what's wrong with going outside? Like, what's wrong with that? And so I was like, no, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying, you know, it was late. I'm like, you're not saying it was late. You're not just commenting on how interesting it was that it was a late hour. You were saying, like, you shouldn't be out late because you're married and it's inappropriate because, you know, like, you're going to do something wrong, which is totally retrograde.
It's also really gross that he's putting this on somebody else. Like, if this is your problem, that's your problem with your wife. And you talk about that in private. You don't bring it up in public and then shame their friend. Like, their friend is some kind of slut because she still goes out at night while you're married.
Well, it also takes away
some... fucking weirdo.
It also, like, just takes out, like, it... By saying, like, oh, Jordan's, like, a bad influence. If she's with Jordan, then she's going to go out and make bad decisions. It totally... What that does is it eliminates any sense that Jasmine has any free will. Like, oh, she just does what her... These people... Like, I need to be there to be a good influence. Because Jasmine is, like, too... Like, she doesn't have... She needs someone to think for her, to make her decisions. And then when Jordan's making decisions for her, those are bad decisions. That totally eliminates Jasmine from the situation, which is so patronizing.
Yeah, girls can't think.
Where's my organ?
Jasmine is that's my husband. And we have the last name now, literally. So if anything goes down with my man, I'm going to stick beside him. Because we are literally one at this point. According to Jesus Christ. Jasmine, shut the fuck up. Your man is coming for your friend in front of everybody. You need to tell him to shut the fuck up and you'll talk about it at home. And not to keep that shit up for your poor... What are you doing? You're a terrible friend.
This guy's terrible also.
Jasmine sucks. And I'm so glad she's on this show, by the way.
Yeah.
But God, she sucks in literally every scene she's in. She's wrong.
She cracks me up, though.
So far.
So Preston's like, I date men, and I can't disassociate what he's saying about protection of a woman because I still feel like I need to protect my spouse, and I can't disassociate gender from that. And I think if we do, we are all being disingenuous, and the organ music is back, and they're all staring at him like, I don't think I follow what he's saying.
Right. And he's like, most mainstream men have this idea that they have to be the He-Man or the Incredible Hulk over women. And even if that's rooted in love, a woman might want protection sometimes from her man. But that woman also decided to go out with her homegirl. So like, what do we do? And no one's listening anymore. It's like, dude, everything doesn't have to be a fucking speech. You know,
Jordan's
they're just looking at him like, oh, God.
Jordan's just doing a countdown to her potato. She's like, oh, God, 55 more minutes. I can have my big potato. So Jordan goes, well, I also, by the way, I don't have a counterpart. So what the fuck do I look like out in these streets as if I don't have any regards for my safety? Like, I'm extremely protective and aware of my surroundings at all time. And despite whether it's 2 or 3 a.m., because I've known her prior to you. She's basically saying, like, you're acting like I'm just this totally irresponsible twit. And I'm not.
Yeah, so whatever. That guy's an idiot. So if that's the first episode and he's that comfortable being that chauvinistic, good luck with the rest of the season, buddy.
Yeah, well, I think it's a really great cast. I think this show has a lot of potential.
This was good.
It was really good.
This was really good, especially for a first episode of something. Mm-hmm. Really liked it. So everybody go check out this show. It's a good one to watch. And thank you so much for being with us. We will talk to you next time. And some of you later in the week in New York City for Real Housewives of New Jersey. And then in Washington, D.C. for Vanderpump Rules. So we are doing a bunch of extra recaps this week to make up for those being late. So just keep coming back every day. There will be something up.
Tons of content, as always.
We love you guys. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C. Dana Do.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.